In this mini-series, I'm calling it, of bookmarks in the Book of Mark, one of the bookmarks in the Book of Mark that I found to contain some incredible insight for me personally and for so many others is found in Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. So I'm going to invite you to open your Bibles or devices to that text. Again, if you prefer and you've received one of the handouts that we provide, you could follow along there as well. In this passage, Jesus uses a parable to explain the power and the purpose of the word of the Lord. So again, picking up in verse 1 of Mark 4, we read again, Jesus began to teach by the lake, which tells us what? He taught by the lake more than once. It was a good, setting for his teachings. The crowd that gathered around him was so large, they got into a boat and sat it out. Out on the lake. And while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge, he taught them many things by parables. And in his teaching, he said this, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns," he says, "which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still another seed fell on good soil and it came up, it grew and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." Okay, so we've got this story about agriculture. But is there more to the point than just agriculture? Sure, there is. At the risk of oversimplifying, the bookends of this parable sum it up pretty well, what this is all about. What's the very first thing he says? Listen. And how did he conclude this part? If you have ears, hear, right? Hear. So we need to listen with the ears God has given us. That's really the point of the parable. But listen to what? Well, we'll get to that. And what's this big deal about the seed? Now, the followers of Jesus actually needed some help with this as well. They had some questions, evidently. Because picking up verse 10 and following, it says, "When Jesus was alone with them, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables." Well, why would they do that? Because they didn't quite understand what he was getting at. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise," he says, "they might turn and be forgiven." And he's actually quoting Isaiah. We'll get to that in a minute. But this doesn't seem to line up with what I was told as a young Christian. I was taught the premise that these parables were earthly stories to help us understand spiritual truths. And there is truth in that. But Jesus says that he was using them to actually hide truth from many people in the crowd, particularly those who were resistant to it. They'd be kept in the dark for the time being. And it may help again to note, remember that he's quoting from Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. And I would encourage you to read the context of that passage when you have the time. If you do, you're going to see that most of God's people had refused to listen to him for so long that he was done pleading with them. Why? He knew it wouldn't do any good. Still, he also knew there were a few who wanted to listen, who wanted to hear, who wanted to know, and they would continue to want to know. And so for that reason, he would send Isaiah to communicate to them in ways that would not be understood by any of those who didn't have hearts open to him. Imagine trying to teach a child something that's beyond their comprehension, and how many of you have had to try to do that? As parents, as maybe school teachers, teachers in Sunday school, trying to teach kids some concepts that are just, well, they're beyond them. Now, you use simple illustrations to do that many times, object lessons. try to help them to grasp these basic concepts before even attempting to teach them the deeper truths. You might use even one of Aesop's fables to do that. The kids will be engaged in the story. They'll likely even remember it, but unless you tell them the moral of the story, most of them aren't going to get it on their own. And any who refuse to pay attention at all to what you're saying, well, they're certainly going to be left clueless. Now, Jesus' parables are so much more wonderful than any man-made tale. They're divinely scripted. Yet he was in the midst of some stubborn, rebellious religious leaders who were so much like those in Isaiah's time that his method of teaching was like Isaiah's. It was designed accordingly. Matter of fact, listen to what he has to say in Matthew 13, 10 through 13, in a very similar context. He says, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak to you in parables. Though seeing, they don't see. Though hearing, they don't hear or understand." Now, does that sound familiar? Sounds very much like what he said in Mark 4. Why? Because he's also quoting again here from Isaiah. Jesus taught in parables to lay a foundation for those who wanted to hear from God but weren't ready to understand deeper concepts. But it was also to withhold certain information from those who would distort what he said in attempts to silence him prematurely. Now, later on, back in the book of Mark, chapter 4, 33 and 34, we read this: "With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. When he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything." You hearing a pattern here? How many of you know Jesus was a master teacher? He knew his audience well, and he was fully aware of their ability to understand and their willingness to. Those wanting to go deeper, guess what he did? He tutored them privately. And that's exactly what happens in our text back in Mark 4. Picking up verse 13, it says, "And Jesus said to his disciples, 'Don't you understand this parable? How can you then understand any parable?' Verse 14, 'The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path. When the word is sown, as soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown in rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others," he says in verse 18, "like seed sown among thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires of other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown." Now, again, following this along, in and of themselves, the parables didn't make sense to everyone who heard them. Sometimes they didn't make sense to the ones who were following him very closely, the disciples. Without help, most people needed help to get their spiritual implications. So that's what Jesus is doing here. He's helping them to see a spiritual application to this agricultural truth. I'm glad Jesus explained the parable to him, aren't you? I'm glad that he took the time to explain to them. And I'm so glad that this explanation has been recorded for our benefit. so we can understand it too. Aren't you? Aren't you so glad that the Holy Spirit chose not only to give us this teaching from Jesus that he had privately with his disciples, preserve it for us as his disciples today? That's good news. See, the Spirit's intention was for that very thing with parables. For Jesus says in Luke 8, verse 17, again, very similar context, parallel text. Jesus said, there's nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. The intention of the Spirit was with these parables that though there would be things that were mysterious to people, they wouldn't understand it exactly, they wouldn't see the application at first. His intention was, though, that one day they would, providing they had ears to hear. Because that has not changed one iota. I'm thankful that we have all that we need to grasp the Lord's meaning today. But what we need is ears to hear. We need that desperately. So let's kind of break this parable down a little bit now. Jesus says the seed is the word, right? He said that to them. He didn't say it to the crowd. He said it to who? The disciples privately. He told them that. But what word? And who's this farmer sowing this seed? Now, in the records we have of him talking to them, he didn't say right then and there. But it seems clear from later revelation, and again, what he's saying here to them and what we perceive today, that he's referring to God as the sower. And that word is his divine revelation. It's vitally important for us to understand that the prophets of old were mouthpieces for God. Isaiah was one, but the others were too. They were, again, sharing the revelation with the population. They were doing that. But here's Jesus now, and he's the chief spokesman for God. You may recall he's identified in John chapter 1 as the Word made flesh. Wow. I use the term sometimes, we need to flesh out God's word. We need to live it. We need to apply it, and we need to live it out. But Jesus was the Word in flesh, the very Word of God, the living Word of God. But I want you to hear something he said in John 12:49. He says, I don't speak of my own authority. The Father who sent me has commanded me what to say and how to say it. Not just what to say, but how to say it. So where did the idea to teach in parables come from? His Father. And why was that necessary? Because of the same condition of people's hearts in that time as there was back in Isaiah's time. Jesus only spoke as the Heavenly Father directed him to. And how is the Word of God being sown in this parable? Based upon Jesus' earlier statements, it's primarily taught by preaching or teaching verbally. Today, though, we might hear the Word when we read Jesus' teachings for ourselves, or whether we hear it read to us, or could I say, we have it signed to us. We can hear it, not necessarily with our ears, but we're hearing it with our heart, the ears of our heart, we're hearing it. He did say, you have ears, let him hear. But the idea really is if you have been given the ability by God to hear, by all means, do. Listen and hear what God has to say. The greatest impact we can have in sowing the seed of God's word today is in our communications with our family, our friends, and our neighbors. Now, some may think, well, that's easy for you to say, Pastor. It's your job. Well, you might have a point if it wasn't for the fact that I presented the truth of God's word long before I ever did it from a pulpit. and long before I was ever given any compensation for doing so. I'm talking about materially. And I expect I'm going to continue to do that wherever and whenever I have opportunity to do that. So, but hear me. If you find it easier right now at this point in your life, this time in your life, to invite people to come hear the word, by all means do. By all means do. Because what is important is that they hear the word, that they have the opportunity to listen and to take that word in. And that brings us back to the parable. It's interesting to me that Jesus indicates that the perception of people, that affects the reception of the seed that's represented here as God's word. I've generally thought of the types of soil almost as different fields. But if you listen to what Jesus said, that's not what he's saying. He's actually teaching here that the degree of receptivity is like seed that's sown in different portions of the same field. Didn't he? It's really the same field. But no matter what field we're sowing seed in, you can count on there being different levels of receptivity where we're doing that. Now, the seed along the path, that speaks of those who are so hard-hearted that the seed doesn't penetrate. Now, what would make somebody that like that? What would make somebody that way? That again, they're hard-hearted. They're not receptive at all to God's word. What happened? A stubborn disposition is there, but where did it come from? They won't even entertain the possibility maybe that there is a God, let alone he's got a message for them. For all intents and purposes, if their hands are clasped over those ears that God gave them, and their hearts are closed to the prompting of the Spirit of God. And there can be a lot of contributors, perhaps, that condition their hearts that way, their spirits that way. But the reality is there are people that are in that very position today, to have hearts that are hardened towards God's word. Now, there's also the seed he talks about that's sown in rocky soil, right? That represents those who are so shallow that they don't allow for the seed to take root. Now, perhaps the word sounds appealing to them, but when troubles come, they dismiss what they've heard as not, well, something worth retaining. I've known people to be open to God's blessing, but have bought into the idea that their lives should be smooth sailing without a cloud in the sky if they just listen a little bit to God. But when the storms come, they reject God and his word because they think, even if he does exist, he's treating them unfairly and his word can't be trusted. Then there's that seed that's sown in thorny soil. That illustrates those who don't treasure the word as they should. It may seem like they hear the word and take it to heart, at least at first. They may even be so gung-ho for God that, well, they're like that flash in the pan at first. But their faith soon dissipates. Perhaps it's because, this is just my own personal experience in talking with people, dealing with people, that they don't feel it's paying off in the way that they thought that it should. Before long, the world and its pleasures take precedent over God's will and God's wishes for their life. In the short term, it's as if it's a lot more fun to do the things that they want to do their own way rather than listen to what God would have to say about their choices. Finally, there's that seed sown in good soil, right? Which represents those who hear the word and let it sink in. They listen and they respond. That's very important. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are those who hear those words they taught and put them into practice. they listen and respond, and they keep listening, and they keep responding. And as they do, they begin to see the benefits of trusting God and His Word. The analogy here is interesting again. It says the Word in them produces a crop. Isn't that what it said? Produces a crop. What's that mean? Now, if I close the lesson right now with just this challenge for each of you to go home all alone by yourself, get off in a corner somewhere and wrestle with that question, or maybe I leave this to you if you have questions about that question and want to talk about it, an invitation to come and let's sit down and let's study it out. I can't say honestly how many of you I know would do that. Some might not even give it a second thought. I'd hope that we all would want to wrestle with that question. And we'd all want to know, what does that mean? But I believe it depends, once again, on the fertility of our hearts, whether we even want to know what that means. So here's the bottom line. This parable emphasizes the abundant and, dare I say, miraculous yield that results from God's word taking root in a receptive heart. Truly listening to God's word bears fruit in our lives, and it increases the potential to advance God's purposes. Think about the promise in the parable. Those who hear will produce a crop, some 30, some 60, or even 100 times what was sown. In ancient Palestine, a tenfold yield was considered pretty good. But 30? 60? Man, 100-fold, well, that'd be extraordinary. That would be incredible. That would almost be a miracle. This phrase is indicating divine blessing for those who tap into the power of God's word. Not just hear it again, but allow it to sink in and take root and grow. This is reminiscent of Genesis 26:12, where we read that Isaac, you know, that son of Abraham, was blessed to reap 100-fold. He didn't just do it by his own work, his own effort. It wasn't, you know, he used a better, if you will, fertilizer than those around him, or he found this Miracle-Grow stuff to put. No. The Miracle-Grow was come from his responsiveness to God's truth in his life. And God blessed him to be able to reap, to bountifully reap more than those around him who didn't listen, who didn't pay attention. Now, our minds may rush immediately to this idea of physical blessing, and I'm not discounting that God can and often does give the faithful so much more than they need. We talked about that just last week some. We'll talk about it some more in the future. Yet the focus here, I don't believe, is on material prosperity. Jesus is speaking of the transformative power of God's truth. I'm reminded of the fruit of the Spirit. You know, that Paul highlights in Galatians 5, 22 through 23. Anybody here, could you use some more love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, or self-control in your life? Would you like to be producing more of that fruit in your life? Do you think your family would like you to be producing more of that fruit in your life? Your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers. I could tell you, I wish that some of the folks I deal with were producing more of that fruit. But the reality is, the ownership comes first on me. Am I listening and responding to God's word? And if I am, I'm going to produce a crop. I'm going to produce a crop. Something's going to be produced in my life, not of my own strength, but of what God's word does within me. If I may be so bold, I'd suggest that when we give full attention to God's word, his Holy Spirit-filled word, allowing it to take root in us, we're going to find ourselves producing this fruit in abundance. Hold on to that. As God's word is sown into our hearts, here's the point. It also should flow from us. We're to share the good news of Jesus with anyone who will listen. And not everyone will. Not everyone will. We can't judge the soil, but we are to share the seed. We're to do that. Seeds of God's word, his truth, the good news about Jesus, but also seeds of kindness and love and peace and patience and joy produced in us overflowing. Now, we may have little to no control of the receptivity of those we speak to, but we have a call on our lives to sow the seed, trusting that God's will be that some of it's going to fall on good soil. Good soil. I am so thankful that many who tried to share the good news with me didn't give up. My soil wasn't always what it should have been. God tilled it. God developed it. Until eventually seed that was sown took root and grew. I praise him for that. His patience, his goodness to do that. We should be sowing seed, folks. We should be doing that. We need to be doing that. Because as God's children, he sends us out into this field all around us. It might be your workplace, might be your school, might be your neighborhood, might be your family, right at home or extended family when you have those gatherings. And again, not everyone's going to want to hear what you have to share. Leave that up to God. Let's just do the sowing. Let's just do the sowing and trust him to provide the open hearts and the ears to hear what we share. May those who have an ear hear. May those listen who God has enabled to listen. And may we pray even for those hard-hearted people that something will change within them. We won't be able to change it, but I believe with all my heart that God can. Let's keep sowing that seed. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for this parable. I want to thank you for Jesus expounding upon it, explaining more to us about it. I pray, Father, that we are encouraged by it. For God, the reality is that none of us would be in the place we are in relationship with you that we are right now if someone hadn't sown seed. Father, I'm thankful for my parents, grandparents, neighbors, others who cared enough to share. To allow for the word in them to overflow as they presented it to me. And I pray that all of us could take time today to thank you and to thank those who, again, were instruments of yours for the sowing of the seed into our hearts. Thank you, Father, for all that you're doing. We pray that we might be able to continue to be just a light in your community, that we might be active and doing what we can to do as we should, to receive the word and let it overflow. Father, may we be your instruments and be your vessels for your word and your will in this world. Thank you for loving us so much that you gave Jesus to give his life that we can have life. That Father, that he now lives within us and that wishes to work in us and through us to share the good news in our communities. Thank you We love you. In Jesus' name, and those who agree, say amen.